Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the Cross Our Apostolic Sabbath and Congregation, Mount Zion, the Bell Town, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is September 1, 2016, or it is History 1, 2020. We'll start our second service on this new moon Sabbath with a song entitled Somebody Bigger Than You and I. Who made the mountain? Who made the tree? Who made the river flow to the sea? And who hung the moon in the starry sky? Somebody bigger than you and I. Who makes the flowers bloom in the spring? Who writes a song for the robin to sing? Who sends the rain when the earth is dry? Somebody bigger than you and I. He lights the way and the road is long. Keeps you comfort me with love to guide you. He walks beside you just like he walks with me. When I am weary, filled with despair, who gives me courage to go on from there? And who gives me faith that will never die? Somebody bigger than you and I. Shepherd of love. Shepherd of love, you knew I had lost my way. Shepherd of love, you cared that I'd gone astray. You saw and found me placed around me, strong arms that carried me home. No foe can harm me, or alarm me. Never again will I roam. Shepherd of love, Savior and Yah and God. Shepherd of love, forever I'll stay by your side. You saw and found me placed around me, strong arms that carried me home. No foe can harm me, or alarm me. Never again will I go. Shepherd of love, Savior and King and God. Shepherd of love, forever I'll stay by your side. Sign of thy coming and end of the world. This is part one. Matthew 24 is going to be our sermon today. Our key word is olives. O-L-I-V-E-S. And let's look at Judges 15, chapter 15, verse 5. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn, and the Philistines, and burnt up both the shocks and also the standing corn with the vineyards and olives. Micah 6:15, thou shalt sow, but thou shalt not reap. Thou shalt tread the olives, but thou shalt not anoint thee with oil, and sweet wine, but shalt not drink wine. Now this is what happened with us at Gilead Center. From 1970 to 2003, Roberta W. Johnson in charge of the kingdom of Esau, okay, and the antithetical kingdom of Ahab and the antithetical kingdom of King Saul, the first king of Israel in the time. Okay, it says in Micah 6:15, let's read that again. And shalt sow, but thou shalt not reap. Brother Johnson said, we are sowers and we are also reapers. Well, Verus Johnson indeed did sow, but somebody else did reap down his field. It says, thou shalt tread the olives, but thou shalt not anoint thee with oil, and sweet wine, but shalt not drink wine. Okay. So it says, we know what Amos chapter 9 says. We go to Amos chapter 9. Somebody's going to drink some sweet wine that's going to drop down. But who's going to drink that sweet wine? That's the next question. Who's going to drink that sweet wine? Let's go look at it. Amos chapter 9. This is, and starting with verse 11. And at that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I'll raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. Well, this met its fulfillment 2002, when Yahweh brought the house of Esau, an antithetical King Saul, and antithetical Ahab's house to a close at Kermit, Texas, at the third feeding pasture at Mount Gilead for the Adventists. He said, and in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches of, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. At the time that Yahweh made this pronouncement and to his new servant, he also gave him a change of name, Denton Brunken. He also gave him a change of name at the same time that he gave this commission to him. At the changing of the guard, 2002 at Kermit, he says that your name is Elijah David. It's actually antitypical David, and you are in the spirit and power of the Elijah, just like John the Baptist was. So he says in Amos 9, verse 11, and in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom. Esau, what did I say, Brother Johnson? 1970 was identified as antitypical Esau, and I was identified in 1970 as antitypical Jacob, his spiritual twin brother. And of all the heathen which are called by my name, saith Yahweh, that doeth this. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth the seed, and the mountains shall drop down sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be put out of their land, which I have given them, saith Yahweh the Elohim. Now this sermon is dedicated to these names that Yahweh has given me to write down and to read it out loud on this tape. Daniel and Rebecca Rodney and Rodney Johnson. Billy and Kirby Franks and Sven. Alan DeLong and Sharon, his wife. Teresa Moore. Dennis Roberts. Greg Grant, Carissa. That's Greg Grant, Carissa, my three children. Brunken, Greg Brent, Krista Brunken, Krista Roland Brunken, okay, Lola Gloria Pauline of San Diego, California, Virginia and Betty here in this area. Okay, those are the names that he told me to dedicate this sermon to. Alright. So, we're going to try to get this sermon to the hands of every one of those names. One way or another. It's always in Yahweh's hand. Now, I'm going to go back to Matthew 24. And let's continue our sermon for today. It says, let's start again now with verse 1. And Yahshua went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came unto him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Yahshua said unto them, see ye not all of these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of the Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Yahshua answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Okay, see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. This is where we're at. For a nation, verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes and in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, keep that in mind. Where are we at today in the stream of time? We are in the beginning of sorrows, folks. And we're just precluding the great time of trouble like the never was since it was a nation. And I'm going to turn now to Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, and read that to you. Because this is a prophecy right now for now. Daniel 12, 1 is a prophecy for right now. And it says, and at that time, what time? In the 12th parabolic hour, the last parabolic hour of Earth's history, and we're in that time, which is set aside for the harvest time. Okay. It's not seed sowing and harvest, it's just strictly harvest time. Alright, now, we're in the 12th parabolic hour, have been since 2002, starting at the Passover of Kermit, Texas, at the Gilead Center. At the antitypical Passover that was announced by Brother W. Johnson then, he said, we are in the antitypical year of our Savior's redeemed. This is the year that that will meet its fulfillment and Yahweh redeeming and visiting us in person. He said, because we're having the Passover on a Wednesday night exactly just like they had 2,000 years ago at Yahshua's, the week of his crucifixion. He had the Passover to going down the sun on a Wednesday night, actually to going down the sun on a Thursday night to begin Thursday, and which was the 15th day. The Wednesday was the 14th day. When the sun went down on a Wednesday, it began the first day of the week of unleavened bread on a Thursday. Same thing happened in Kermit, Texas, 2002 at the Passover, and Brother Johnson, being cognizant of that fact, announced that several months before the Passover 2002. He said, this is the antitypical year. This is when Yahshua will appear to us in person. Another one of the many prophecies that he's made, that he had made the last 32 years from 1970, and seemingly that didn't come true. Or did it really come true, but he didn't recognize in reality the full implication of the prophecy and how it truly met its fulfillment, but with an invisible appearance of the Yahshua instead of the visible appearance. That was the only difference. That was the only difference in that prophecy. Brother Johnson made a true prophecy. Yahshua did appear invisibly to most everyone, except he appeared in an apparition to Laura Mae Johnson. And she gave the testimony that he did. Okay. So she saw him in an apparition. We never saw him. She saw him. Only. She told it to brothers. Brothers believed it. But nevertheless, everyone concluded that if he did come, he was invisible. And they didn't know about it, except one person, Laura Mae, and she says she was scared to death when she realized that he was standing right next to her pew, at the end of the pew in the aisleway. Okay, now so much for that. Let's look at this Daniel 12 again. It says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even under that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Now, since how it says in Matthew 24, that verse 8, it says, all of these are the beginning of sorrows. Okay. So we're in the time of the beginning of sorrows, but Yahshua has not yet appeared in person to deliver his saints. Because the time has not come yet. It's fast approaching, but not yet, or not quite yet, for the enemy has not yet declared that the mark of the beast is going into force, and that everyone must bow down to that image of the beast or be thrown into the antipodal fiery furnace and be killed. That hasn't happened yet, but when that does happen, you know that we will have met the fulfillment of Micah 12, verse 1, what I just read to you. The only one that's going to be delivered out of that is those whose names are found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, slain from the foundation of the world. You'll find that in Revelation chapter 5, where that judgment scene is talked about there in Revelation chapter 5. I'll turn to that right quick and read that to you. Alright, now it says in Revelation chapter 5, it says that, starting at verse 1, and I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with the seven seals. Now that's the same book that's found here in Daniel 12:1, where it said that and at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. What book is that? That's that book here in Revelation 5, verse 1. It's called the Book of the Seven Seals. And it's in the right hand of the Father, because the Father has also come on the scene. And this is the judgment of the living, folks. This is a scene of the judgment of the living. Revelation chapter 4 is the scene of the judgment of the dead, 1844. But Revelation chapter 5, verse 1, is the scene of the judgment of the living, starting in 2002, closing out the 11th parabolic hour with Kermit Texas, Brother W. Johnson, the angel of the seventh candlestick at the helm, closing him out and changing the guard from his guard, the old guard, to the new guard, to the guard of Antipodal David, the house of David. Micah 6:9, hear your rod and who hath appointed it, okay? And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Now, this book is a book with seven seals. This book is here now. And it is being opened. And who is the one worthy to open it? Yahshua, the Son. He's the one that's opening the book. But how does he disclose the contents in it? How does he disclose that to you? He discloses that through his servant, the prophet, Antipodal David, at his appointed time. The time has come, folks. Pay attention. It said in Revelation 5:3, and no man in heaven nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither the left their own. Okay, so now I'm not worthy to open the book, and nobody else is either. David Koresh. Koresh, 1993, a.k.a. Vernon Howe, his birth name, a Seventh-day Adventist deluded person that I had dealings with personally in 1985. Okay, he got in trouble with the author of this book of Seven Seals. And who's the author? Yahshua is the author of the book of Seven Seals, of the Seven Seals. I know because he's the Word. The Word there in John chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, and then he, verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Yahshua, the Word, is the author of the Old and the New Testament. How do I know that? There is a Hebrew name with the word Abaddon, A-B-A-D-O-O-N. And that's a Hebrew name for Yahshua and the scriptures of the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's a Greek terminology with the name Apollyon. And it's the name of Yahshua in the Greek. In the New Testament, he's the author of the New Testament. He's the author of the Old Testament. And both of his names are recorded in the scriptures of Revelation. Matter of fact, Revelation chapter 9, I believe. We go right over here a few pages. They might even find that quickly, I don't know. It says, and he hath his name as Abaddon, it's in verse 11, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. And that king is Yahshua. He's the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. That's a Hebrew name for the Hebrew scriptures of the Old Testament. But in the Greek tongue, and hath his name Apollyon. And what is the definition for Abaddon? That name? Meaning terminator, executioner of all of his enemies. Actually, Abaddon in the Old Testament means he's the executioner of many of his enemies. But Apollyon, the name in the New Testament, means he's the exterminator of all of his enemies. Okay? Okay, so now, as we go back to Revelation chapter 5, it says in verse 4, and I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And David Koresh said, well, I'm worthy. That's been given to me to do. And so he told those people when the government came out there and surrounded his place there in April the 19th, 1993, he said, why? I'm David Koresh, meaning antypical Cyrus, Isaiah 45. He said, I'm antypical Cyrus. My name is David Koresh, and I am the one that's authorized to open, meaning another name for Yahshua. He said, I'm authorized to open this book and unleash the seven seals thereof. So I'm going to do that, and when I'm through doing that, then we're going to bring this standoff to a close. He thought he was calling the shots because he thought he was in charge. But he wasn't calling the shots. He was lying and living a lie and teaching a lie. And so therefore, Yahweh let him have 51 days. And then what happened to him? I may have my story just a little bit on that April the 19th date. That was the end of a 51-day siege that David Koresh said that he had, and I think that the first siege was on February the 28th, and then I think 51 days later, I believe, on April the 19th, they burned him out and destroyed him and killed them all. Okay, so that's what happened to one person that said he had the right to open up the book of the seven seals and to render judgment. Okay, so now it says in Revelation 5, okay, it says in Revelation 5:5, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Okay, so it's the Root of David, which is Yahshua, the Son. It says, he's the one. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, another four beasts in the midst of the elder stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of Yahweh sent forth into all the earth. So what are these seven eyes and seven spirits? This is vision before and after. This is inspired vision before and after. And you go find that in Zechariah. You go find also the verse that collaborates with that verse, Zechariah 9:6. I believe it's Zechariah 9:6. It says that, let's see now. No, it'd be Zechariah 3:9. I looked it backwards there. It says, for behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, that's Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest, upon one stone shall be 7 eyes. Well, Yahshua, he was a high priest. Behold, I will engrave the graven thereof, saith the Yahshua of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day, a day for a year. Ezekiel 4:6, a day for a year. Okay, when did that day take place? It took place in 2002 at Kermit, Texas. Okay. It took place on the Day of Atonement, September the 16th, 2002, on the Day of Atonement. That was, he removed the iniquity of that land in 1 year. Okay. He started removing it at the Passover 2002, and he finished it up at the... But the year was from Atonement 2001 to 2002 Atonement. That was the year. He removed the iniquity of that land in 1 year. Okay. I know this is deep, folks, but still water runs deep, and that's all I can say about that little point, is that still water runs deep. And that's that still water that Yeshua was talking to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, where he says, a well of water spring up from the eternal life. This is a deep well. He contended with that that woman at the well that he had a well spring of water springing up into eternal life. It was a deep well. There was no bottom to that well, and there was no end to that well. The water springing up. Okay. Let's now get back to our main subject, and that is Matthew 24, because we got a lot of ground to cover, and maybe we won't be able to cover it in this one sermon, but we're going to get back onto it. It says, as we review what we just read, it'll be verse 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Yahshua answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Now, you get that? Take heed that no man deceive you. Well, you know, he wouldn't tell you to take heed and don't let a true prophet deceive you, but he would definitely warn you against an uninspired person that was masquerading as an inspired prophet. Yeah, he would warn you against that. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and shall deceive many. And lo and behold, when Brother Johnson came to the end of his ministry down in Kermit, Texas, my wife with her own ears heard him say, cheer up, man, you're being crucified. And he said, well, I must be the antitypical Messiah. I'm being crucified, and who's crucifying me? None other but Dennis Roberts. He says, well, that man has been sent here to crucify me. He told me to cheer up. He says, you're being crucified, because that very day that he said that in the hearing of my wife, he pulled up in my driveway. And he says, you know what? Those letters that Dennis Roberts been writing to me and sending me, he says, you know what? Yahweh's going to take care of that. He says, you know, he said, we're going to triumph over that. He said, those things are not going to come to pass. He said, we're going to win the battle over that situation. He said, he's going to vanquish my adversary. He's going to get rid of him. And he says, we're going to win the victory over this thing. That's what he said. And then my wife went with him and his wife to Odessa, and they were standing in line at the grocery checker line there, and Brother Johnson says, oh, Spirit just spoke to him and said, cheer up, man, you're being crucified. That's what's going on here. And Dennis Roberts, according to Brother W. Johnson, you were the one sent to be this crucifier, because he was sure chafing over his wounds that you were inflicting upon him. And so he got the answer that day. He said, "Well, I'm the antithetical Messiah," and that's what he put down, and that was going to, and that's what he told me in so many words when I talked to him on the last week of 2003 at the Passover. He accidentally called my phone number, hoping to get my wife on the phone and invite her to come and have the Passover with them in 2003 and separate from me. But he got me on the phone instead, and so I told Brother Seth Johnson, "You better come and have Passover with us. You better break over." He said, "Well, I'll call you back in 30 minutes and I'll let you know." So he called me back in 30 minutes. He said, "Well, my wife and I discussed over. Said if I were to come and have Passover with you, I'd have to say that everything that I have preached and said the last 32 years is false." He said, "I just can't do that, Brother Bronson. I'm going to have to stick with what I'm doing," because he said, "I'm going to be exonerated this Passover 2003. I'm going to be coronated as prophet, priest, and king, just like I prophesied in my three commissions that I said I had and wrote it out on paper." He said, "Just like I said, I'm going to be exonerated at this Passover. So you better come to my Passover and watch me be exonerated as prophet, priest, and king." King what? King Messiah. But he'd already said that he was the antithetical Messiah that's going to be exonerated that year. And so sure enough, he did. He stuck to it. And as soon as that was over with, his church just shattered like a tornado had hit it. All right. Now, Matthew 24. We're going to go and just take a cross-reference now to what Paul, when he was dealing with those Thessalonian Gentiles, there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says, and let's just go with verse 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. It says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Savior Yeshua Messiah, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Yeshua is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called Elohim, or that is worshipped, so that he as Yahweh sitteth in the temple of Yahweh, showing himself that he is Yahweh." This is exactly what Brother W. Johnson did in 2002 at Kermit at the Passover, or he tried to do at the Passover of 2003. Because I had the 2002 Passover with him, and I didn't witness anything like that from him, but 2003, I wasn't there because I'd already been separated from the bowels of the Gilead Center Church, and so therefore I could only communicate by telephone, and Yahweh allowed that to happen between me and Rollis, and this is how I learned these things that made its fulfillment there at the Passover 2003. This right here is what met its fulfillment. I just read it to you. Verse 4, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called Yahweh, or that is worship, so that he is Yahweh, sitteth in the temple of Yahweh, showing himself that he is the Yahweh? No, the Messiah. Because he was like Lucifer there in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. For Lucifer says, "I will be like the Most High. I will exalt my throne above the stars, above the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I will be a God." That's what he says. Like the Most High. So Brother Johnson is saying when he says, "I'm the antithetical Messiah," he said, "I will be a God like the Father. I will be one like him." But he'd already believed that his wife was a deity, a high priestess. He already believed that since 1974. I know that. He already accepted to believe that. He kept that a secret. I knew it, but nobody else knew it in the church. I knew it all those years, that he exalted her as a deity, and that's where he got his counsel and advice from. Whenever he wanted to make another prediction, he would get his counsel and confirmation from his God wife, Lyme Mae Johnson, the antitypical Jezebel here on earth, but nevertheless, he called her a goddess, a female goddess in the heavens. Okay? She had connection with heaven, the throne of grace. She had connection every day. So he sought her counsel every day because he believed that she actually had connection. Okay? So it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time? Who is that? For the mystery, verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. For we know the man that made these antitypical predictions, Curtis W. Johnson, the angel of the seventh candlestick led a seal that was spewed out of his mouth at the Passover 2002 and didn't even know it. Was this man right here that's mentioned in Matthew 24, where it says, verse 4, take heed that no man deceive you. Well, that was this uninspired prophet, angel of the seventh candlestick led a seal. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah. Well, Brother Johnson was just the tail end of many that has already come and claimed to be the Messiah. We know there was no less than a dozen of them at Christ in Yahshua's day. And Barabbas was one of them that went around Jerusalem saying, I am the Messiah. There's no less than a dozen of those characters running around. Well, what do you think about these last days? Buck Roden said he was the Messiah. Then Lois Roden says she was a female Messiah. Female goddess means a female Messiah. Lyme Mae thought she was a female Messiah. Okay? So now, here's the thing. It says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now this word mystery connects up here with Revelation chapter 17, verse 5. Let's go read it. It connects up with this mystery Babylon, this woman. Now get this. It says that, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs and of Yahshua. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Connect the two up, folks. All right, now we go back to Matthew 24. And it says there in verse 6, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And then shall they deliver you up to the affliction, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom, now get this, this plan of salvation taught by the New and Living Way, in the New and Living Way, is the plan of salvation through the blood of the Yahshua, the New and Living Way, Hebrews 10:20. Okay? And it's taught by the law of the Spirit, Romans 8:2. Okay? And this gospel, this is a personal possessive pronoun. Or you can put it as a preposition. And so what we need to do is supply a word or two here to really make it grammatically correct. And when you say, and when this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached, priest is a past tense adverb, but when you put the shall in front of it, it's talking about a future tense in the future. Okay, shall be priest in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of the desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, he so readeth, let him understand. Okay, it takes inspiration to understand now, because it says so in Job 32:8. He said, inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Go read it for yourself. If I could quickly turn to the Job 32, and actually Job didn't even make that quote. It was one of his tormentors, his enemies, that came masquerading as a mourner with him. One of his friends, one of his neighbors, come masquerading as a man of wisdom, going to show Job where he was truly deceived by his own beliefs. And this masquerader came along and he said, why, verse 8, Job 32, he said, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. Oh, this is a very brilliant man. He has no inspiration at all, but he thinks he has all the inspiration in the world. And this man that thought this, with this the youngest of them all, he was one of the four that come to see, or one of the three. It says, so these three men ceased to answer Job. There was a fourth one came named Elihu, E-L-I-H-U. He said to Job, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. So I'm speaking now, and I have understanding. I'm telling you, Job, that you've got secret sins that you are hiding, and they're now being revealed, and you're being punished for it. In other words, that's what he was saying. All right? Same thing today. People come claiming to have inspiration, but do they really have inspiration? Well, the truth finds them out in the end to see if their prophecies come to pass or not. So it says that there, we're going to fast forward now here, Matthew 24. We're going to fast forward now down to verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a sound of a trumpet. And what trumpet is that? That's your seventh trumpet. Okay, of the seven mentioned in Revelation. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds. What is elect? That's the foundational word for the word election, meaning that there has been an election held. In other words, there has been judgment taken place, and those that come to the judgment as the leaders were elected. Okay, and then you have those that followed them was also elected. There's preordained in the foundation of the world. Okay, it says so there in Ephesians. Preordained in the foundation of the world. Preordination. And Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through about 30. Preordained. Okay? And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven unto the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branches yet tender and put forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Okay. So he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but the Father only. Now, this word, but, this is a conjunction word. It shouldn't even be allowed as a word in the dictionary. It's just like that word, because. These are excuse words. And this if word is an excuse word. But they use them as conjunction words. And I'd like to take, when it says but, I'd like to put that word only, or I'd like to put the word verily. Okay, so let's just try that. only, verse 37, Matthew 24, only as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah, okay, so we have two prepositions here, together, which is improper, for and as are two prepositions, but nevertheless, matter of fact, we have three prepositions here together. That may be the only time in the Bible you ever find where three prepositions are put together to start a sentence, which is just totally misuse of the grammar. But that's okay. Let's go ahead and do it because it does define what we're trying to say here. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, Brother Johnson taught the antitypical 120 years of Noah's day and our day. He said it began at the same time that the three antitypical 40 years of Moses' time began in the antitype, and that was 1850 to 1970. He said the antitypical 120 years of Noah run side by side with the three antitypical 40-year periods of Moses from 1850 to 1970. So, he says, in 1970, the Yahweh called him, the Heavenly Father called him to make a calendar to restore the sanctuary and put Yahweh's people back on true time and teach my people my government. So, Brother Johnson showed that 1970-71 was the end of the 120 years in our day of Noah and the Antitype for the Adventist Church. So he sent out a message, come on, come into the ark now. It's time to come into the ark. So he says the kingdom that was given to Brother Johnson, he said this represents the ark that you're to come into now. Come and join Gilead Center. Come and join. And so in essence, what Brother Johnson was saying, I'm the antitypical Noah, inviting you all to come into the ark in these last days. 1970. Okay, now keep that in mind. But it says, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Well, that day was 1970. Brother Johnson was this man that was announcing the fulfillment of that prophecy, that he was the only one that knew the fulfillment of it. So he had to be the antitypical Noah making this announcement. I don't care how you measure it. That's the way the prophecy showed it to be. And knew not until the flood came. What is flood? Revelation 12 says it's a flood of false doctrine that is spewed out of the serpent's mouth, the old dragon's mouth, to drown the woman. What woman? The pure woman that represents the purified church, the elect that we just talked about. Namely, the 144,000 are this elected officials. They're the main elected officials. And I knew not until the flood came and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So, when was the coming of the Son of Man then actually in the prophecy? When was it mandated to show up to be taught? 1970. And by yours truly, the angel of the seventh candlestick, Brother W. Johnson, the one that was spewed out, he was the one given the first privilege and opportunity to make good and be the progenitor of the righteous line to raise up the foundations of many generations from the foundation of the world. He was given the first privilege and opportunity because he was the oldest and he had the birthright. He inherited the birthright, so therefore he was the first privilege. But he inherited an awesome position in the antitype of the antitypical Esau that had a Hebrew father, but yet the prophecy said that he was of a heathen nation of Ishmael, the half-brother to Isaac, the Hebrew. Okay, you get that? Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. Okay, so this is where we're at right now. Two in the field, one is taken, the other left. So he that hears this message and comes on and comes to the light of this message of where it's coming from, and he's the one that will be taken. Whoever doesn't follow on will be left behind. That's the separation. two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. Okay. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your master doth come. It says Lord here, that means Messiah, Yeshua. You don't know when the sun is coming. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in which and what a watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. This literally happened to Brother Johnson at Tournament, Texas, 2002, on a new moon Sabbath. His house was being washed by a thief. The thief knew exactly when he went to the 2 o'clock meeting at the sanctuary on a holy day. He knew exactly when he did that. The thief across the street was watching him. He used to work for Brother Johnson. Matter of fact, was still working for him part time, doing yard care work for him and so forth. Brother Johnson had come home one day and caught the thief in his house, rummaging through his house one day, and told him, says, "You get out of here and don't you ever come back on my property again." Well, the thief obeyed. He left out there and he never come back on Brother Johnson's property again until his wife said, "Hey," she went over to cross the street to visit him one day and she said, "Hey, you owe me $20. And said, "Now therefore, I'm telling you, if you come back and mow my grass, I'll wipe out that $20. So the thief said, "Okay, I'll come and mow your grass for the $20 I owe you." So Lord May invited him back on the property after the prophet, Brother Seth Johnson, ordered him off and said, "Don't you ever come back again." Lorme overrode him on that and had the thief to come back, and the thief came back and got him back into the good graces with him again. And so he felt privileged that he'd come and go in Brother Johnson's house, and so he watched him one day. When he was in his house the first time, he was caught. He was rummaging through his house and seeing that Brother Johnson had a safe, a vault, a money vault back there in the closet. And he knew that somehow, some way, that vault was for putting money in. So the thief was right. He came back one day when Brother Johnson wasn't suspecting it, and Brother Johnson had money in that vault. But he had the vault left unlocked. The thief stuck his hand in there and got the money, and he went rummaging around two other places, found two other places of hidden money, and he took all that he'd find, except just one last little place that had a few $100 in it that he missed. So he got the money. I went over one day. I said, "I need to borrow some money to go buy some watermelons." Liz Normay went back to get her money, and she come back out and says, "We've been robbed. All of my money has been stolen." And they knew who it was. So that's the fulfillment of this prophecy right here. Then shall be that. It says. Watch ye there, and see, no, it says, "But know this," verse 43, "that if the good man of the house had known in which, what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." Okay, so now, "as such an hour as you think not," Daniel, Rebecca, Franks, Alan DeLong and Sharon, Teresa Moore, Dennis Roberts, Greg Grant, Carissa Brunken, and Lola, Gloria, Pauline of California, my friends since 1957, I met in the Navy, Virginia and Betty that we met since we've been here in the Liberty Hill, Texas since 2003. We want to invite you to pay attention to this. We're going to try to get the copy of this tape in each and every one of your hands. So it says, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour," what hour is that? The 12th hour. Yeshua said, John 11:9, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? Work while you have the light, for the hour cometh and no man can work." Okay. So it says, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Well, the one that's speaking to you right now turns out to be that faithful and wise servant that has held on to the truth ever since it first came to him in 1970 and had not let go of it and don't intend to. And so therefore he is the one that's talking to you now. He's the faithful and wise servant. Blessed is he, blessed is that servant whom his master, when he cometh, shall find so doing. So I don't know when he's going to appear in person again, but when he does, you're going to know that he's going to be seen with the 144,000 for sure. You're going to see them all together. And but that will be revealed to this servant here before it happens, so that you will know the day and the hour of his little visible appearing and coming. You will know that because this servant's going to let you know. Brother Johnson, he tried that in 1974. He said, we're going to stand with the Lamb on Mount Zion at the Pentecost of 1974 in the person. And so we thought, well, we believed him, but it didn't happen. So we know that he was made a false prediction there. So it says in verse 47, Matthew 24, verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my master delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the master of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This brings the end of our studies. Our contact is the 11th hour call. We're going to close this song now with a song. The King is coming. The place is empty. No more traffic in the streets. All the builders' tools are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewife sees her labors in the courtroom. No debate. Work on earth is all suspended. As the King comes through the gate, oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. Praise God. He's coming for me. Happy faces line the hallway, those whose lives have been redeemed. Broken homes that he has mended, those from prison he has freed. Little children and the aged, and in hands that all aglow. We were crippled, broken, ruined, clad in darkness, white as snow. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. The King is coming, the King is coming. Praise God, he is coming for me. I can hear the chariots rumble. I can see the marching throng. The flurry of Yah's trumpet spells the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now unfolding. Heaven's grand stands out in flame. Heaven's choir is now assembled. Start to sing amazing grace. Oh, the King is coming, the King. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. Praise God, he's Praise Yah from whom all blessings flow. Praise Yah from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures held below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise